Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Show on ESPN 1000. We are on the road today. Hoodie's still on vacation. Courtney Cronin, Double C, is here with me. We've got a lot to get to, Courtney. The Bears have traded Roquan Smith, but we're at Espresso up in Bannockburn, my favorite breakfast place in the world.
I know. It's exciting to be out here this early, and I'm glad some people have joined us. But if you're around the area, 2545 Waukegan Road in Bannockburn, come hang out with us.
Yeah,
for a
right at the corner of 22 Half Day Road and Waukegan. And it's right in the little shopping center. Come on in and hang out with us.
We've got a bunch of athletes we're giving away, too.
Yeah,
so
a bunch of swag.
Koozie.
And there's been a ton of athletes. Michael Jordan has eaten here. Scottie Pippen, Olin Kreutz. There's a ton of them that
so
come
basically,
in here
if you come in here and get an omelet, you are signing a 10-day contract, like a couple days.
Pretty
later.
Much.
Okay.
Exactly.
So I know what I'm doing when I get off air.
Okay. So Danny wanted us out among the people, and the first thing we have to talk about is the Bears traded their second most visible, second best player. I think Justin's the best player on their roster. Roquan Smith, he plays for Baltimore now.
Yeah, he sure
what
does.
What the heck's going on?
I think Ryan Poles is sticking with his strategy. And when you take a look at the draft capital that comes back in return for Roquan Smith, a second and a fifth in 2023, they've got nine picks now, two twos and two fours. You understand the value of it, but it is a big statement to be trading arguably your best defensive player eight games in. And I think it just shows you what the Bears think about Roquan Smith and the number that he wants beyond this season, and that they were probably never going to get to that number considering what their priorities are in building around the offense going forward. Like, that to me just shows you that everything that was tabled from the offseason was never going to get put back on the table, or nobody was going to come back to the table to negotiate, because they knew which way this thing was going to go. So they saw a window. They saw their opportunity to get the most for Roquan Smith right now. And I think that you can't fault them for making this move. It's going to be – there will be a short-term sacrifice for the long-term benefit, hopefully, for this team as they take those picks eventually, take all that cap space eventually, and try to build something with this group.
Yeah, when I heard the trade, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Officially now we are cleaning house and admitting we don't have enough talent. We need more – they need more depth on top of star power.
Yeah. And I think when you say we don't have enough talent, and then people's minds go to, well, why are you trading the most talented players? Well, you don't get return for bad players. That doesn't work like that in sports. So it requires trading away a pass rusher who is still very much in his prime at 31 years old in Khalil Mack. Same thing with a 32-year-old pass rusher in Robert Quinn. So on top of that, I mean, this is the one that Poles is going to get be looked at under the microscope most intently, because the first two, you know, we talked about Quinn and before that with Khalil Mack, they're in their 30s. They're on the other side of that number where they've got a few years left playing. Roquan Smith is very much entering his prime right now at 25 years old and playing. He played really well this season. I mean, I know Sunday's game against the Dallas Cowboys is probably his worst game, as it was for everyone
graded
on the Bears
28
defense.
On Pro Football Focus, which is the worst on the team.
Yeah.
He had to know going into that game. Now, he doesn't have an agent, but he does have a team of people around him. He had to know that he was being chopped.
I think that the tears from last week that you saw with Rot when he was made aware in that moment.
He knew what might be coming.
I think that that was twofold. Obviously, he loves Robert Quinn. He respects him. The guy was, you know, a leader of that locker room. But I think Roquan Smith knew in that moment that he was probably going to be next. If not, maybe he already knew, like, wholeheartedly that he was out the door no matter what had happened.
So people are asking the question, and we would love to hear from you, 312-332-3776. Why? Why would you trade? He's not 32. He's not 36. He is 25 years of age. You could have franchise tagged him for up to 3 years. Now, that's not financially prudent, but they've got nothing but
they could
cap
have done
space.
It for two if they really wanted to go that route, but you know how players feel about the franchise tag, and that usually leads to a massive point of contention.
Correct.
For somebody who wants the big deal, who wants his next, you know, to create generational wealth, not playing on a $9.7 million fifth-year option, to get tagged around 18-ish next year, that would still be below where we think his number is, because where the Bears came in, from what I heard, obviously was not 20. But it was a considerably favorable deal for what he is as an off-ball linebacker. No, it would not have reset the market. But I don't think the franchise tag would have made him much happier, considering what we know about the old offer that was brought to the table for Roquan Smith. So you get in this game of chicken that you're playing throughout the offseason, and the contentiousness that you were able to smooth over when he decides to end his hold in and come play for you this year and bet on himself, he's going to be looking at himself saying, why did I do all of that if they were just going to take the path of least resistance, which would have been giving him the franchise tag? I think it avoided a massive headache for all parties involved and really eliminated the contention that was very possible to have occurred.
Yeah, from what I've been told by people I trust implicitly, he and Ryan Poles got sideways with, A, the hold in, mm-hmm. B, he's not all, he's a great football talent. He also likes to go out at night. He likes to enjoy his time in the city, which he's a 25-year-old guy with a hell of a lot of money, mm-hmm. and he has every right to do what he does. They and he never meshed on the way he viewed things and the way they viewed things.
And I think, too, with the way that Ryan Poles wants to build this roster, he's making it pretty clear so far about the notion that he's going to be paying for specific positions and where he values specific positions. The off-ball linebacker is not one of those in terms of what he's willing to shell out big bucks for. And it's interesting because that role plays a vital part in this 4-3 scheme. But is it worth going all in and spending so many of your resources when everything now is geared towards offense? I mean, I keep going back to the Khalil Mack trade. It was obvious at that point, the day that you ship him off to Los Angeles, that everything is now going to be geared towards offense. And that was the very beginning of this rebuild, in seeing what more pieces they would have to ship out the door in order to give Ryan Poles enough ammunition via the draft, via the salary cap, to be able to go enact that next year. Now, that's where they'll get judged for what they do and what they don't do even further, because you can have all this draft capital, you can have all this cap space. Can you make the right decisions about who you're going to bring in here, and can those players effectively be part of the change and be part of what you were trying to build around the quarterback, and can you see success with that? Because it's all great in theory until those players have to actually play. Can they be good, or does it not work? I mean, that's, we can all sit here and say, yeah, he won the trade, the Bears have all of these resources now to utilize. What do you do with those resources?
That is the big question, and I've been screaming from the mountaintops. They don't have any talent. They have one first-round pick on their roster. You can add N'Keal Harry. He wasn't theirs. They got him for a seventh-round pick. We'll see how that works out. All they have left is Justin Fields. They are clearly going to build this thing around him. I believe, and what I'm hearing is, they are now convinced that is the guy. So no matter what the record ends up, I do not think they're going to draft another quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think they're all in on this kid, and now it's how do we get enough assets, free agents, trades, draft picks, that we can put an offensive line around him, protect him, and give him weapons to throw to.
It's the writing's been on the wall for that for a while, and it did look a little murky there, weeks 1 through 6, when the quarterback was really struggling. These last 2 weeks, they can walk away feeling confident, knowing that he is, okay, like, something's working. It's clicking with Justin Fields. Now, if you continue down this stretch and it continues the way that it is, then you probably have your answer for how your offseason's going to go. If there are struggles and ups and downs, and that's the fine line that they have to walk to be able to sift through, okay, what's a byproduct of the fact that our team just got worse because of what we did on defense and what, you know, the two pieces that we shipped out, and maybe they're not done. Maybe they end up shipping off somebody else today. I mean, the deadline's at 3 p.m. Central Time, so there is still time, and there's this belief in some league circles that the Bears might continue to be active sellers. So you're thinking in your head, is that David Montgomery?
Could it
possibly be Eddie Jackson? I mean, the makeup of this roster has already changed drastically in the last 5 days, and if it does change even further, how is that going to affect the growth cycle for Justin Fields the rest of this year? Because right now everything's pointing towards they're going to build around him in the offseason. They have to give him a true shot because this year was not a true evaluation. It wasn't set up to be because of the teardown. Next year you have to do that. So I think that you're right. Like, everything points towards them building around Justin Fields this offseason. They have a ton of resources to do it, but it's not going to be pretty for the next 9 games. In order to get to that point where they can start being active buyers, and active just in the sense of what they want to do in the draft. They have a ton of capital to utilize now, and that's to their benefit.
Now, there are fans out there, and I've been engaging with a lot of them on social media, that are saying, hang on a second, you're not trying to win. That's correct. They are not. They weren't trying to win when this season began. When you shipped out Allen Robinson by letting him walk, didn't even call him. Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith. That's a lot of freaking talent.
Mm-hmm.
James Daniels, you could say what you want about him. He was a starting caliber offensive line. Didn't even make an offer. We're not interested. And then did not spend any of that money on anybody of substance to bring back. We knew what this was. That was what was amazing to me, the number of people that were out there going, I see a 10-win football team now that Nagy's out of here. Not really.
Yeah, that's buying into too much of what they saw in 3 preseason games.
Correct.
And thinking that that was going to carry over to this season. I know people get frustrated when the talent deficiencies, a talent gap is brought up. Look no further than a 20-point loss at Dallas. The talent gap between where the Cowboys are, in a year where they weren't even supposed to be as good as they are right now. Their quarterback gets hurt week 1. All of their wide receivers are hurt, and some of them got shipped off via trades. And we're wondering, how good is this Dallas team going to be a year after making the playoffs? It shows you just where a team like that is and where the Bears are, and that the Bears aren't really ready to compete. There was always going to be games that they won that maybe they weren't favored in, maybe they weren't supposed to
win. That's the NFL.
That's the nature of this. That's going to happen. And it's not necessarily saying that they're tanking by any stretch. This is strategic, though. What you're doing right now to be able to sell high and get back return when the value is at its highest, 8 games in, I can't fault them for doing it. I think it's a smart strategy, and it's been Ryan Pohl's strategy all along. Like, he has shown you out in the open who he is as a general manager and what his philosophy is, and he stuck to that. That's why I think he deserves credit and a lot of patience, because he hasn't, as a first-year general manager, you can be tempted to do a lot of things. Some of them knee-jerk reactions and seeing how many wide receivers want to get out of their current spots during free agency. He could have tapped into that. I remember we asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, of course you see the movement, but you stick to your strategy. You don't get tempted by shiny objects when you know that the long-term plan is you have to be deliberate about it.
Right.
And he has been.
He has been. I wish he would have spent some of his resources. If you had money to pay Riley Reiff and Michael Schofield the night before camp, you had money to get a more suitable replacement to protect the asset you're trying to evaluate. That was my only issue with him.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't spend that much, though, on either of them. Like, that's the, I guess, probably maybe the misconception that's out there. Reef's contract, the escalators that are in it.
I think it's only $3.5 million.
Yeah, that's cheap. You're right. Agreed. They did have more resources that they could have utilized, but would it have been any better than a Riley Reiff, a Michael Schofield, any of those guys? There's, you know, people say the same thing about receivers too. The receivers that are out there, why weren't they trying to go get Will Fuller? Why weren't they trying to go get Odell Beckham Jr.?
Odell Beckham Jr. is not coming to Chicago when they're not ready to win.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. free agents, free for a reason.
Correct.
They have a choice of where they go. And, I mean, people at that point of their career not trying to go to a place that's in a rebuild, that is a very tall task to get players here. That's what people overestimate, how easy it is. It's not easy to get free agents to come to your team when you are very clearly in the beginning stages of a rebuild.
All right, 312-332-3776. We are at my favorite breakfast place. It's called Espresso. It's up in Bannockburn at the corner of Half Day, Route 22, and Waukegan. Come by, say hi. Why are we here? I really don't know. Danny said I don't get out enough. Okay. So Courtney and I are here, and then starting at noon, the station's going to be at Dave & Buster's. Carmen Yerk, Waddle Sylvie, Black Abdallah. It's going to be a great day for the radio station, an awesome day. So come on out, see us, say hi, have some awesome breakfast, and then we're getting to the phones next because every line is lit. Why and what do you think of the Roquan Smith trade? Next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome back, Cap Jay Hood. On the road, Courtney Cronin in for my guy Hoodie, who's on vacation. A big day for the radio station because we're going to have a little party. We're going to all be at Dave & Buster's this afternoon from noon until 7, leading into, I believe, the World Series here on ESPN 1000. But this morning, our show is at my favorite breakfast spot. Danny said, you got to get out more. Why don't you go to Espresso where you go eat breakfast all the time? So we are here. Our guy Gus opened the doors, and we're ready to go. So we're at the corner of Waukegan and 22 up in Bannockburn. So come by and say hi. Courtney, so I follow Jeff Hughes on DeBears blog. And Jeff was very tapped in during the coaching and GM search. Here's what he wrote. This is for everyone to read. He said, yesterday the Bears traded Roquan Smith to the Ravens, and the internet was full of folks desperately trying to ascertain what the trade meant. The Bears did not want to give the standout linebacker anywhere near the $100 million he was seeking. Why? Several reasons. First, they didn't trust him at the organizational level. Roquan had a weird history with this club, and that history involved an active nightlife that often got him into trouble. That's a big statement.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, if I'm not sure who his source is on anything like that. I mean, if that's what he's hearing, then that makes sense. If you're kind of reading through the tea leaves.
Well, if you're thinking I'm going to hand you $100 million, how motivated are you going to be if you weren't before you got it?
Yeah, and I mean, there's over the years we've heard about stuff that has, like the off-the-field stuff with Roquan Smith. And he's always performed, though. Like that to me, and like I'm a firm believer that this was the right move. I don't value the off-ball linebacker position because this is 2022. That, to me, screams volumes more than anything else, and I've seen these deals play out very poorly. I covered Anthony Barr in Minnesota. That contract was an albatross by the end of it, and then they end up releasing him. It just isn't worth it. C.J. Mosley, like, which is kind of hilarious when you think about the team that Roquan Smith is going to, the Baltimore Ravens. They let C.J. Mosley walk. Like, and now they're going to get another middle linebacker? Like, it just doesn't make a whole ton of sense to pay what Roquan Smith was seeking, which, again, north of $100 million trying to reset the market, given the deals that Shaquille Leonard and Fred Warner had just signed within the last year and a half, 2 years. That's good for him if that's what he's seeking. I don't think you're going to find a lot of teams that want to pay that, which when he goes to Baltimore, there's no guarantee he's going to get that extension. They can tag him, or it can just be a short-term rental and he hits free agency in a couple months. It works out to his favor if he does hit free agency. I just don't know that you're going to get that number.
All right, let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. What did you think of the trade? And it's now a signal of a clear direction. Are you okay with that? Start with Rolando in Arlington Heights. He's first. Rolando, how are you? Rolando? Okay, let's go to Jay in Blue Island. Hey, Jay. You there, Jay?
Oh, I'm here. Sorry, Cap.
Oh, good. Go ahead, man.
Hey, so I'm a big fan. Listen to you guys every morning. I just want to say that I think getting rid of Roquan, as much as it hurts me to see, I think it was a great move by Poles. I think it sets us up for a lot of great things. And on top of that, I'm just happy that we have a quarterback.
That's the biggest question. Thanks for the call, Jay. I appreciate you. The one thing at the end of the year, whether he can play or he can't, at the end of the year, you have to know if you're the GM, that's my guy or that's not my guy. But you can't be up in the air going, I don't know.
They aren't going to have a full assessment or a full answer. That's just, this team was not set up to give them that this year, but he has more of a chance now to get this thing right in building around the quarterback. It was never going to be a one-year 2022. You have to, given the way that this team's constructed, you're just going to walk away with an answer of Justin's the guy, he's not the guy. If he's not the guy, nobody punts on a quarterback after 2 years. It doesn't happen.
What if you're picking number three?
If you're picking number three, you can still pick a quarterback. No, it's not. I understand that, like, the optics of it, it is not illegal to do that.
Agreed, but if you, at the end of the year, go, I don't know, we've got the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. C.J. Stroud's sitting there. Will Levis is sitting there. Bryce Young's sitting.
Sure.
Whoever the guy is, that's the guy I want to draft. Then you're going to move Justin.
You can do that. I don't think that it's the wrong move. If they really don't know, like, let's just say that the season, the rest of the year goes out, no matter what the record is, if they really don't know, you can still draft a quarterback and still give Justin Fields an opportunity to prove himself next year, because none of these guys, no rookie quarterback pans out in the first year. It drives me up the wall.
Agreed.
It doesn't work.
But you're not going to do that. If you're picking a guy in round 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, yes, even late 20s. If you're drafting a guy number 1, 2 overall, that is the face of your team going forward, or you're not doing it.
Maybe in 2024, Justin Fields was going to be the face of this team, I'm convinced, 2023 regardless. He wasn't given a fair chance to prove himself this year, given what the construction of the roster was before week one. He never was given a chance.
So I had Steve Young on.
Okay.
On TV. And I said, can you judge Justin Fields at the end of this year with no receivers, no offensive line, a very shaky defense, and a team obviously not trying to win? He said, you won't on Sunday, but he said Ryan Poles and his staff, Matt Eberflus and his staff, 100% will know at the end of the year, because they'll know how he is in all the meetings.
Sure.
They'll know, did he make the right read, but his guy couldn't get any separation?
Of course.
Or he knew exactly what was supposed to happen, but he got sacked and it wasn't his fault. He said, I think the end of the year they'll absolutely know.
That's all true. And I think that the day-to-day stuff, more than anything else, I mean, obviously you have to win games eventually in this league. Otherwise, they're going to move on from you.
Yep.
But a two-year evaluation of a quarterback that you didn't draft, you didn't bring in, that's what they walked into, knowing that it was going to be 2022 and 2023. No one's ever done with a quarterback after his first two seasons, let alone the first year. There were a lot of mitigating circumstances.
They changed
Josh
coaches.
Rosen.
They changed systems.
Coordinators. I mean, he walked into the worst possible situation, and there were red flags about him before as a player, and all of the some of the off the field stuff with him too, like just about the leadership and like who he was as a person. There was a lot of that before the situation he walked into in Arizona. There was nothing around Justin Fields that suggested that he wasn't capable of leading this team and that he wouldn't be the guy when put in the right opportunity. And even now, I go back to the last 2 weeks. The New England game, they scored 33 points, a season high, the most points they've ever scored with Fields as their starting quarterback. And even in a loss, you have people, myself included, where the rhetoric, of course, can be around this defense, but it's also, hey, Fields looked pretty good out there, even when his receivers are dropping balls, even when the pass protection's not great. He's looked a lot better these last 2 weeks. So you're Ryan Poles. You're walking into this week knowing what you can do at the trade deadline and just the resources you're hoping to come away with to build around this guy. You feel pretty confident right now knowing, hey, Fields is growing. It's marginal growth each week, but it's something. If he was taking a step backwards, then you'd
That's
be very worried.
Concern.
God, you'd be really worried.
Let's go to Chris in Old Town. Chris, what's going on, Sparkles? Good morning. Welcome to the show. Okay. Let's go to, how about Mike in Schaumburg?
Oh, captain. My opinion on the issue is that Poles gets the benefit of the doubt for the year. I don't think he's stupid. He seems like a cerebral, smart guy. I think that if there was a deal he could have had with Roquan where he could pay him and still fit him in a well-rounded, talented roster with cap flexibility, he probably would have done it. But since he couldn't, he moved on. So if it was the wrong decision and he doesn't know what he's doing, he probably won't be here in a couple of years. But for this time, we give him the benefit of the doubt and see what he can do with a whole load of draft picks and quite a bit of cap flexibility.
I don't disagree with you. And thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate you. Yes, he looks to me to be a very intelligent, cerebral guy who has a plan, and I'm sticking to my plan.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think about why he took this job, too, versus the Minnesota job. I remember the day that he got hired in Chicago, you find out a little bit more of what the contract details are. He's a five-year deal here. He had a four-year deal in Minnesota. That's time. That's the sign-off from ownership to burn this thing down and start over, and that they're going to allow you the patience to do that. This is year one of a long contract for Ryan Poles, and the time, at least you hope the time, that he's going to be afforded and that there won't be any sort of knee-jerk reaction from ownership to get impatient in that process.
He also can look at Ryan Pace and say, they didn't have a lot of success. Mm-hmm. He gave him 7 years. They're not up front.
I mean,
they gave him five up front, I think.
The five is the big part there, and I think that for Ryan Poles, for himself to know, I can do what I need to do. I have a plan to get us from point A to point Z. It's going to take multiple years to get there.
But you got to give me time to do it. All right, 312-332-3776. We've got a ton of calls. We'll get to all of your calls. Plus, we always play Hoodwinked on Tuesday with Hoodie. Hoodie's been on vacation in the Indiana Dunes, why I don't know. And we are going to play something, so we'll take the fifth caller right now. If you can get through, 312-332-3776. We call it Cronenwinked. Oh, my God. That's next. Hey, guys, if you're suffering from hair loss, or worried about your hair, you've got to check out Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts. The sooner you take action, the more options you'll have for keeping and restoring your hair. Bosley has both surgical and non-surgical solutions to help you keep the hair you have and grow thicker, fuller hair where you need it most. Right now, Bosley's giving away a free information kit and a $250 gift card toward a procedure. Just text to win to 203-203. 203-203 is what it is. You don't want to wait when it comes to hair loss. A little late for me. Just get the information and learn what you can be doing right now to keep or grow your hair. People trust Bosley. They are truly the leaders in hair restoration. They have the most experience restoring hair, and experience matters. So what are you waiting for? Get your free Bosley info kit and a $250 off gift card when you text WIN to 203-203. Again, text WIN to 203-203 and get your hair back with Bosley.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. All right, Cap and J Hood listeners, who's ready for a story? Sit back and relax as Jonathan Hood regales you with tales of frivolity. Did it really happen?
We have been hoodwinked.
Who knows?
Bamboozled. Led astray.
Who cares? Be prepared to be
run amok and flat out deceived.
Hoodwinked.
We don't get fooled again.
All right, Hoodwinked is brought to you by the great people at Lou Malnati's, the passion runs deep, best pizza in the world. Normally it's Hoodie with a hoodwink, two truths and a lie. Instead, we're playing Cronin Winked with Courtney Cronin.
I'm excited for this one.
All right, Billy and Berwin, you ready?
I'm ready, guys.
All right, you and I will talk about it after Courtney challenges us, and then we will make a determination. In the end, it's your guess. You get it right, you get the gift card to take your family to dinner at Lou Malnati's. You ready?
Sounds good. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. Courtney.
Okay, so I give you my three things.
Yes.
All right. Number one, I used to Irish dance. Number two, the only way I will eat a hot dog is Chicago style. Number three, I've never drank a glass of milk, and I'm not lactose intolerant.
Wow.
I told you I was going to bring the heat today, Cap.
You did.
I was excited about it.
I got a text late last night. Boy, what's your first gut feeling there, Billy and Berwin?
My gut reaction is to go number three.
That's the lie?
I feel like that's the lie. I feel like that's a tough thing to be truthful about. How do we know that Courtney wasn't 6 months old having a glass of milk?
Because 6 month olds drink out of bottles, Billy.
Right.
Ah. Okay. There we go. The verbiage there. Okay.
My gut feeling is she's never Irish dance. She's a Chicago girl, so she's absolutely eating a hot dog Chicago style. Knowing her, I have never met her parents, but what she has said about them, age, everything, she's never had a glass of milk, but she definitely the lie is about the Irish dancing. I don't think you've ever Irish danced.
Cap, you're pretty convicted there, so I'll lean your direction and go Irish dancing.
Okay, so let me make sure I've got this right. You are telling us you've been an Irish dancer. You never have.
Wait, am I allowed to reveal the lie now?
No, you will in a minute.
All right, I want to get ahead of myself here.
The lie is so. I believe you have never had a glass of milk.
And do I have to say yes or no to that?
Not yet.
Okay, I'll just sit here until you're ready to tell me which one is the truth and
the questions right. So you're saying you've never had a glass of milk?
Correct.
Okay, I believe that's true. You're telling me the only way you'll eat a hot dog is Chicago style.
So the whole everything, all the fixings on it.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's true. And then the third thing is
that I used to Irish dance.
No shot.
Okay.
So, Billy, let's go with the Irish dancing.
Agreed.
You've never been an Irish dancer.
That is a truth. I used to Irish dance Sheila Tully School of Irish Dance in Glenview, Illinois. I believe it is still in business, so hopefully this is a nice little promotion for her studio. The lie is that I will only eat a hot dog Chicago style, and I'm probably outing myself here, so don't come at me with pitchforks.
Don't tell me you put
ketchup only. I'm sorry, Cap. Ketchup.
We have been hoodwinked.
Ketchup on bratwurst.
Ketchup on a
Polish.
What are you, like, eight?
That is as opposite as you can go.
I've never drank a glass of milk, and I'm not lactose intolerant. I have a taste aversion to milk. I have a taste aversion to mayonnaise. Like, basically, those things I put all in the same category. I won't do it. I won't do it. But, yeah, I was an Irish dancer from, like, probably, like, 10 to, like, 13. I did it in my middle school years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, Billy. Tell you what, I sleep with the marketing director at Lou Malnati's, so I'll make sure you get the gift card anyway, okay?
Hey, appreciate it. Glad to be on with you and with Courtney. Courtney, do you ever take a day off? Just curious. I know you're everywhere.
You know, in season, it's not really possible, but get me to January 9th, and then we'll talk.
That's it. We don't have a coaching change this year or a GM, so she can take a little vacay. Hey, man, have a good day. Enjoy your food.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Oh, I appreciate it. 312-332-3776. No more Irish dancing now.
No, absolutely not. No way. Those days have been retired. But
that would be awesome. Remind me to tell you the Michael Flatley story off the air.
Okay, I will.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We're talking about Roquan Smith. And, again, we are at Espresso up in Bannockburn on the corner of 22 and Waukegan. Come see us. Say hello. It's my favorite breakfast place in the world. Michael Jordan, when he was in town here, this is where he would go. Scottie Pippen was here over the summer. Olin Krutz is here all the time. There's a ton of people that come eat here. It's an awesome, awesome spot. Back to the phones we go. And let's see. How about is Dell in Beverly still there? Hey, Dell, welcome. How about Mike? Mike, are you there? He likes the Roquan trade.
Hello?
Hey, Mike.
Oh, my God. Cats?
Yeah, rock and roll. You're on the air. Let's go.
I'm sorry. My first time ever.
You're the man.
Thanks for having a blind board. Okay, I don't understand what the confusion's about. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't he not only the last bear, but, like, the last rookie out of his class, his draft class, that didn't attend training camp as a rookie?
That's correct.
Like, the red flags were early and often. And don't get me wrong. Yes, he is a very good player. But after watching Khalil Mack get paid $22-23, and please do not misconstrue, worth every dime, after trading him away, and that's someone who actually delivered game-changing plays, what are we doing with this guy, especially after a three-tackle performance against the Dallas Cowboys? I think Poles is amazing. I am very optimistic about the future. I can't wait to see what happens to Strack. Can't wait for this offseason.
Appreciate your thoughts, man.
Love it. Go Bear Nation. On Poles we ride. Later.
All right. On Poles we ride.
Hey.
But we have got every line lit. We're going to get to all of these calls. I've got people up here say the Bears won't pay anybody. I've got others. Roquan's bad. I got others. They love Roquan. I can't believe that the Bears did this. 312-332-3776. She is Courtney Cronin. I'm Cap. We're at Espresso in Bannockburn because Danny says I don't get out enough around the people. So we're here. Come see us. There were then, from noon to 7, the station's at Dave & Buster's up in Vernon Hills. Come see us there as well. Be right back. Football season's heating up, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats Rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th ticket free. Download the app or visit VividSeats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of the 10 tickets, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See VividSeats.com/rewards for terms and conditions.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Rolling on, we're at Espresso up in Bannockburn. Nice crowd in here. It's my favorite breakfast place in the world. Courtney Cronin is with me. Hoodie's on vacay. He'll be back with us later in the week. And the Bears have traded Roquan Smith. He is now a Raven. Will he get paid? That remains to be seen. The Bears are eating, Courtney, what, 93% of the money this year?
Yeah, they're going to basically whittle it down to, because he's $9.7 million fifth-year option. And kind of the way that they did it with Robert Quinn, where they got his down to $7.1 million. That's what the Bears paid. Eagles gave him like just a little above the veteran minimum at $700,000. So they're structuring it the same way with Roquan Smith, where they're assuming the financial responsibility.
To get a better pick.
Yeah, to get, and I think the Ravens are paying just over $500,000. And yeah, this does add up to, they're at $85 million in dead money for next year. But I don't think that the notion that this team is not willing to pay, that ownership is cheap, that things like that have been said, these moves reflect that that's not the case.
Correct. So let's find someone who wants to argue that point with us. He calls all the time. He is Noel on the South Side. Noel, good morning. How are you, Sparkles?
Good morning, Cap. Good morning, Courtney. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. How are you?
Okay. I mean, I'm glad. I'm okay with the trade, but I'm also concerned.
Why?
The last time we went to the Super Bowl, we kept most of our own draft pick, the Urlachers and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like anytime our picks come to a second contract, the Bears want to trade them away. You look at it. Adrian Amos, James Daniels, Bilal Nichols, Alshon Jeffrey. So if this is how they're going to do things, I'm concerned. But, I mean, for Roquan Smith specifically, I agree with that trade. But their history tells me otherwise as well.
But as Courtney said, they're eating, what, almost $16 million to $17 million off these two deals to get better draft capital to improve the team. When they traded for Khalil Mack, they knew they had to give him a contract, or you don't give up two number ones. And guess what? They made him the highest paid defensive player in the history of the sport. They paid Mike Glennon. Whether Mike Glennon was a good player or a bad player, they said, well, how much is it going to cost to get the guy that we want to sign? $18 million. They will spend. They just don't spend on the right dudes.
They haven't done it the right way. But to his point, and also to the point of not paying draft picks and not getting guys to their second contract, Roquan Smith was never their draft pick. Nobody before this year was. So I think that that factors into that's not their player. Like,
the organization as a whole, that's what I'm referring to. I mean, most of the heavy contract, the huge contract that you usually inherit, they don't care how those contracts. They usually inherit those contracts from other teams.
And we're still in year one of Ryan Poles in this front office. And I was just looking through some of the draft picks. I mean, pretty soon you're going to be coming to the negotiation table with Cole Kmet potentially, with Jalen Johnson. They're going to be up in line for second contracts. Beyond that, Justin Fields in a couple of years. So it's all about your cap planning and how many years out you're doing it, which is typically on a 2 to 3 year basis. And it's not, you know, we talk so much about the $120 million plus that they have and that they're under the cap next year. They're not spending it all in 1 year. You have to financially be really prudent with this to, like, figure out how much you can allocate for next year's group, how much you can allocate for guys that you know are coming due. Now, we'll be, like, to his point, I do understand, like, that previous regimes have, you know, first off, previous regimes, a lot of them have been fired by the time that they're, you know, the summation of their draft class and the guys that they want to pay, potentially, by the time they get to that point, they're no longer calling the shots. So I do think now that you have a new front office and Ryan Poles can take the direction that wherever he wants to go, we'll see if they want to pay anybody from the previous group's picks or if that's only going to be something that from here on out he'll be willing to do.
All right, let's get back to the phones. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Jim. Is Jim there in Chicago Heights? Hey, Jim, what's up, man?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
We are good. We are good. Roquan is a Raven, so all is well.
So Roquan wants to be his own agent, too. So he's saving money there. But you know what they say about a lawyer that represents himself? He's got an idiot for a lawyer, a client.
Yeah, I don't understand why he wouldn't want to have an agent and have him hear what the other side is saying rather than him have to filter that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his
right.
He also, exactly. I think there was a disconnect. I think Roquan, and again, he's 25 and he's a multimillionaire. He has every right to do what he wants. He enjoys his social life, and I think that was a concern for some in the upper levels of the organization on the football side.
Yeah, and the funny thing for the Ravens is now they have two players that represent themselves at a very high profile level. Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Maybe
they can represent each other.
I mean, I don't know how you have the time to do those things and also be negotiating with the front office, but, you know, they're clearly very talented at one thing. Maybe they can do that as well. I'm not of the belief that you can be your own agent. I think it's very difficult, but it's the one thing that's going to be very intriguing to watch going forward is how do they use their franchise tags next year? Do they go ahead and give Lamar Jackson the massive deal? Do they tag Roquan Smith? Or is this truly a very inexpensive one-year rental for them to try to
win a Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. All right, 312-332-3776. Phone lines are hopping. We have shot or no shot. That is coming up in exactly 2 minutes. Be right back.